Access more.
Glorious day, fellow traveler. Welcome to Science and God with Dr. G. That's me, Dr. Michael Gillen, physicist, astronomer, mathematician, and Christian. That's right. Living, breathing evidence that science and Christianity are not mortal enemies, but good friends. Actually, an awesome power couple. What dating apps are missing? Just like everything else in life today, courtship has gone high tech. But is that progress? Compared to, say, 5,000 years ago, do today's high tech dating apps really make it easier to find your perfect partner? And what about the Bible? What does it say about finding your true love? Well, that's what today's journey is all about. So let's get started, my friend. According to studies of American heterosexuals, in 1995, 0% of them met online. In 2009, 22% met online. Then, in 2013, for the first time in history, the percentage who met online exceeded the percentage who met through friends the old-fashioned way. Today, roughly 30% of all American heterosexuals say they've used or are using dating apps to find a match. Now, the popularity of dating apps has been driven by at least three factors. One, dating apps offer millions of potential matches, as opposed to the mere dozens offered by your circle of friends, family, and coworkers. And two, smartphone technology has made dating apps portable and location-specific. Both developments make it easier to find dates whenever you want and wherever you are. And three, the COVID pandemic has been very good for the online dating business. For people locked inside their homes, dating apps have been the only way to make new friends. So, for all those reasons and more, there are now scores of dating apps to choose from. Yeah. Each one has a clever name, like eHarmony, Match, Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, and one of my favorites, OkCupid. OkCupid, all right. And each one of them uses a different mathematical algorithm, a different way of calculating perfect matches. Here's what I mean. Match.com uses your photos and a very, very detailed profile. It's the granddaddy of all dating apps, and it reminds me of the personal ads that papers used to run all the time. Now, in this case, you browse through the app's library of profiles and choose whoever you want to start messaging. It's that simple. Tinder uses your photos and a really short profile. In other words, it emphasizes physical appearances. Now, in rapid-fire succession, the app serves you up a bunch of candidates, boom, 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 and asks you to quickly swipe right if you like what you see, or swipe left if you don't. Based on that alone, Tinder's machine learning program figures out your ideal love interest and starts matching you up. Now, Bumble uses photos and a profile plus two gimmicks. First, only women are allowed to initiate contact. And second, if a guy doesn't respond within 24 hours, he's automatically disqualified. Pretty brutal, but there it is. OkCupid uses your photos and a profile plus a gimmick. You can send a message to anyone whose profile you like, but the message won't be delivered unless they happen to like your profile as well. The League is a snooty app that requires a lengthy application. You have to give them your job title, alma mater, and LinkedIn profile. Your application is carefully screened by the League's staff before you're allowed to join. Happn uses your smartphone to keep track of your comings and goings, as well as your social media posts. It uses the information to feed you the profiles of people, get this, who've recently crossed your path, either in person or online. eHarmony uses a scientifically designed in-depth personality test to match you up. It's one of the oldest apps around and is widely used by people seeking serious long-term relationships. Clover uses photos and a brief profile plus a gimmick. The app lets you order a date for a specific time and place as easily as you order a pizza. There you go. Snack does not use photos or profiles. Instead, it uses video clips of you in action. It describes itself as TikTok meets Tinder. It's very popular with Generation Z. Schmooze only uses memes to match people. That's right, memes. It serves you up a series of memes, which you swipe right to like and swipe left to dislike. As you do that, Schmooze's mathematical algorithm calculates your sense of humor and your personal interests, then starts matching you up. And finally, Zomate uses only your zodiacal sign to match you up. Now, if you want to get really serious, and I'm being facetious here, you can also include your moon, sun, and rising signs. All right. So, if you'd like more details about all the dating apps that are out there, and there are a lot of them, I've put some links in my show notes below, so check them out. It's a lot of fun. Whatever algorithms dating apps use, my friend, whatever their gimmicks are, it all boils down to one thing: mathematically calculating a compatibility score, or as OkCupid calls it, a match to enemy ratio. Yikes. Enemy. Oh, yeah. Netflix and other streamers use this same strategy to calculate the kinds of movies and TV shows you like to watch. Their compatibility scores are based on your viewing habits and thumbs up, thumbs down ratings. But here's the thing. Dating is not like watching a movie. It's way more complicated than that. A movie doesn't have feelings, my friend. A movie can't talk back to you. A movie's not going to marry you. So then, this raises an important question, doesn't it? Does a higher computer-generated compatibility score really increase your chances of meeting your ideal partner? I'm not so sure. Take Laurel and me, for example. Back when we were young, if we'd used online dating services, if we'd uploaded our photos and profiles, no computer algorithm on earth, I'm telling you, would have ever matched us up. No way. Laurel was beautiful. She was well-groomed and well-dressed. I, on the other hand, was ungroomed, badly dressed, and positively scary looking. Laurel was a sorority girl with a full dance card. I was a scientific monk with zero social life. Laurel had all kinds of interests, including science fiction and fantasy, animals, and shopping for antiques. I, on the other hand, had just one interest in the whole wide world. You know what I'm about to say? Science. That's it. Basically, we were like Beauty and the Beast. And just like Belle and the hairy monster, we just happened to meet one day, got to know each other, and fell in love. Actually, let me correct that. When I look back, my friend, I see so very clearly that Laurel and I didn't just happen to meet. We were brought together, not by chance or some mathematical algorithm, but by God Himself. So, what does the Bible have to say about finding your true love? Plenty, plenty, my friend. First, it says that you are not designed to go through life alone. No. You know, after each act of creation, God declared it to be good, with one glaring exception. It happened right after He created Adam. Here's what God said, quote, "It is not good for the man to be alone. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and He brought her to the man." End quote. Second, the Bible says to look past physical appearances, to focus on people's behavior. Why? Because as it says in Matthew 7, quote, "You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit." End quote. You see, no high-tech algorithm on earth can truly quantify a person's behavior. So, it's not part of any compatibility score. What's more, no amount of texting, messaging, emailing, or video chatting can truly reveal a person's behavior either. The only reliable way you can know a person's behavior is by spending time with them in many different settings. You know, back when most Americans lived in small towns, it was an easy thing to do. You had plenty of chances to see how a person behaved in a wide variety of situations. Well, not anymore. Third, the Bible says seeking your soulmate isn't enough. In Journey number 97, I explain that you're made of three layers. Your outer layer is your physical body. It's the least profound part of you, my friend, and yet it's the part most dating apps splash and hype all over their sites. Your middle layer is your soul. It's the collection of emotions, thoughts, and personality traits that make you, you. This is the part of you that gets showcased in dating app profiles. At your very core, however, is your spirit. Whereas your body and soul are worldly, your spirit is divine. It's the part of you that's sinless, that constantly wars with your body and soul. It's the part of you that comes from God, that connects with God, and returns to God when you die. No dating algorithm in existence, no algorithm that'll ever be created, can possibly describe or even take into account this sacred part of who you are. And yet, it's the most profound part of you, the part of you that you must protect above all else. That's why the Bible gives you this clear-cut warning. Listen carefully. Quote, "Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can light live with darkness? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols?" End quote. According to the Bible, then, you and your prospective partner need to be more than just soulmates, more than just two people who like each other's looks and share each other's interests and personality traits. The two of you must be kindred spirits. Both of your lives must be controlled not by bodily desires or soulish preferences, but by your spirits. It's not an easy thing to do, my friend, but it's the only way you'll ever experience eudaimonia, that is, true joy. You see, the Bible is full of stories about people who thumbed their nose at this biblical warning and lived to regret it. Solomon, Samson, and David, just to name a few. You see, it doesn't mean you're never going to fight, my friend. Laurel and I have had more disagreements than I can count. Some of them real doozies. But we've stuck together through thick and thin because at the end of those long, hard days, we listened not to our bruised and angry feelings, but to our spirits, which get their marching orders directly from God. Here's how Ecclesiastes 4:12 puts it. Quote, "A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken." End quote. That's why Laurel and I have been married for 30 years. It's because God not only brought us together, He has kept us together. No dating app has the power to do that. So then, my friend, what about you? If you're using dating apps right now, I'm not saying you should stop. By all means, keep looking. But remember this. In addition to spending time trusting dating apps to help find your true love, include your spirit in the search. In fact, give it top priority. Every day, get away from those dating apps and spend some quiet time with God, praying, asking, listening. For whether you meet someone in person or online, what you seek is not a match made by some spiritless mathematical algorithm, but a match truly made in heaven. Okay, that's it for now. Remember, this podcast is not a lecture series. It's a conversation. So now it's your turn. Comments? Questions? I'm eager to hear from you. There's all kinds of ways you can connect up with me via my social media links in the show notes below. Till next time, I'm still Dr. G saying, I love science. I love God. I also love you, my fellow traveler. Thanks for listening.